Thank you. Good morning.
Please be seated for a moment. And I'm going to ask, just as Tim sits down, I'm going to ask Tim to get up here and make the first announcement.
Good morning. It's with great pleasure that I announce that the population of St. James Westminster has increased by one. With the safe arrival of Jake Manius last night, Mama Laura and Nana Andrea are just pleased as punch, and everyone's healthy and happy. Thank you.
For those of you who don't know me yet, I am Adele Miles. I am here until our new rector, Michael Bruce, arrives on the 15th of August, and we're looking forward to having him with us. There are, at each entrance, sheets where you can write up recommendations for Michael and Heather as they plan to settle into London. They're different from the ones that you had the first couple of weeks, so if you thought you've done it, try again. So that would be helpful. And lemonade is on the lawn today? Yeah. It could be on the lawn or it could be in the hall. Stay tuned. We invite you, however, to join us for that after the service. Spend some time meeting your neighbors. A special thanks to Steve Hollowitz, who's behind me, and Duncan Sizeland, who's over here, for offering their gifts of music for us this morning as we worship together. I invite you once again to stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. May we find peace in your service, and in the world to come, see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Genesis. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padan Aram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle. So they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Therefore he was called a donkey. Jacob said, "First sell me your birthright." Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank, and rose and went his way. Thus those who despised his birthright. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto the freight, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me, and asking all I fear, as long as you are near, please be near me to the end. Forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the
with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to one known to us as Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Be seated. Personally, I find the story of Esau and Jacob troubling. It's just not fair. Jacob, the cunning one, wins over Esau, the elder. Jacob's trickery and manipulation triumph. It just doesn't seem right to me that Jacob's behavior is rewarded. Perhaps that's because, you see, I am a firstborn. So it's easy for me to identify with Esau. When we were young, my sisters and I often quarreled. I'm thinking that's not so unusual amongst siblings. However, over time, my sisters got better at it. You see, they learned how to get what they needed. Sometimes, as a dispute was brewing, they would jump the gun, make the right sound, the right whine, to attract our parents' attention, earning me a reprimand even though I hadn't done anything yet. It just wasn't fair. So when I hear the story of Jacob and Esau, that's what I'm thinking. It just isn't fair that Jacob wins. If God is good, and God rewards the worthy, then in what kind of world is Jacob the trickster worthy? I know all you older siblings out there are with me on this. The truth is, we live in a society that favors the firstborn. The firstborn is fortune's favorite. My sisters tell me that all the time. Bigger, stronger, the firstborn gets first pick. The firstborn inherits the larger share. No one wants to be the runt of the litter. No one wants to be the baby. The thing is, we take our birth order experience out into the world with us, making it the standard by which we order society. And that's a problem. That means if you are stronger, if you are bigger, if you are richer, you win. You are entitled to the larger share. You get all the power. All you have to do is look around you to see the effect of this ordering. The richest 1% of the world's population owns 47.8% of the total household wealth, while the bottom half of the world makes do with barely 1%. The haves get all the power, while the have-nots are voiceless. And we think that's normal. It's survival of the fittest, after all. If you earn it, you deserve it. If those who have less would only work a little harder, if they pulled up their bootstraps, they would have more too. We live with a sense of entitlement that protects us from seeing the brokenness of the society that we have created. Entitlement works against true neighborliness. There is no love of God or neighbor where entitlement rules. If I'm entitled, it's mine, no questions asked. What's more, if I'm entitled, it's mine and you can't have it. Entitlement leads to everything from desperate poverty to violence, abuse, the destroying of God's creation, and yes, even road rage. After all, it's my road, not yours. You see, the entitlement systems we create work to maintain the privileged few, leaving the Jacobs of the world with little to fall back on but their wits. When you are the younger sibling in an entitlement system, you have to be cunning to survive. You have to know how to manipulate the system. Every underdog knows that. My younger sisters learned that. Folks in line at the food bank know that. Those who fought and overthrew apartheid in South Africa knew that. The thing is, God didn't create a world of entitlement for older siblings. God created a world where neighborliness is the supreme value. That's actually the good news buried in the story of Esau and Jacob. It's there sandwiched in the middle. If you're not listening carefully, you could even miss it. It's God's oracle, God's words to Rebekah, as she carries the quarrelsome brothers within her. Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger. Two systems wrestling with each other, entitlement where survival of the fittest is the rule, and neighborliness where God's covenantal love is the rule. The good news is the elder shall serve the younger. The strong shall serve the weak. Neighborliness, growing out of God's covenantal love, wins in God's kingdom. You see, God's covenantal love overturns the system of entitlement. God's concern is for the vulnerable. As God's chosen people, that needs to be our concern too. As people of the covenant, we are called to serve the younger brother wherever we find him. We are called to make room at the table for the younger sister and her children. That means sharing what we have, sharing the world's resources equitably in practical ways like giving to the food bank and winter clothes to keep families warm and giving support to foster children in foreign lands and sending Christmas gifts to children in need, providing shelter for the homeless. These are all good and important. But in the end, they only offer band-aids to our younger siblings, temporary relief to the victims of our entitlement society. It's not enough to stop there. We need to go further, to stand up for neighborliness, call out for justice, and work to establish a community centered on the Spirit of God. That, my friends, is action that makes a difference. Sometimes we like to think we can draw nice, neat lines between what we do here when we come to worship and what happens outside our doors. We like to think religion and politics don't mix. But that attitude is exactly what the entitlement system counts on for its survival. Our God calls us to a different path. God calls us to choose life in all its fullness for all of God's creation. God calls us to embrace the spirit of freedom that leads to new life. And so we must act. We must live out of this spirit of freedom. We must serve the younger sibling. We must stand with the weak and the voiceless. We must show our love to God and neighbor by standing up for God's law, God's Torah. That's what the church did when we challenged slavery. That's what the church did when we challenged apartheid. That's what the church does when we work for truth and reconciliation with our First Nations brothers and sisters. That's what the church does every time we stand up for what is right, not for what is comfortable or convenient or safe. As older siblings, as people of the covenant, that is our entitlement, to stand up for the voiceless, to stand alongside the vulnerable. When we do that, we are acting to fulfill God's oracle, God's plan, a plan where older and younger, strong and weak, care for one another, living together with God in our midst. That's the world as God created it to be. The best part is, as we do this work of neighborliness, we do not walk alone. God's Spirit dances within us, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So you see, in the end, it's not about fairness at all. It's about ensuring there is room at the table for everyone. It's about living according to the Spirit, which gives life and peace to all. It's about living together in God's love. Amen. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as together we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Gathered together as the people of God and attentive to his will, let us pray. Heavenly Father, may your words of truth take root in our hearts and grow to rich maturity. May we hear your will for us and act upon it. May we take seriously our responsibility to encourage and nurture one another in faith at every age and at every stage. Eternal truth, living God, your Heavenly Father, may every act of selfless giving and every search for truth be richly blessed and rewarded. Disturb assumptions and lead many to ponder more deeply the spiritual dimension of their lives. May the Word of God reach all who are ready to receive it, and let us set no boundaries here as to who they might be. Eternal truth, living God,
your word is life and strength.
Heavenly Father, make our homes places of love and growth, welcoming to all who visit them and accepting and forgiving to all who are nurtured there. Help us through the quarrels, the heartaches, and remind us to honor one another as your cherished ones. Eternal truth, living God,
your word is life and strength.
Heavenly Father, may all whose bodies, souls, or minds are aching know the comfort and strength of your companionship and the healing power of your love. We pray especially for Sylvia Brightwell, Liz Bailey, Eunice Smith. We give thanks for the safe arrival of Jake, and we pray for Laura and the rest of Jake's family. May we be more ready to support and befriend one another through the difficult times in the name and love of the God we worship. Eternal truth, living God,
your worth is life.
Heavenly Father, We pray for all who are making the journey through physical death, as they put down earthly things and wake to your presence. Bring us all to share with them your life in all its fullness. Eternal truth, living God, your word is life and strength. Heavenly Father, the rain and sunshine, the growing, the harvest, sing to us of your faithful love, and we offer you our thankful praise for all your gifts to us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My sisters and brothers, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Shine in our hearts.
Father, your word creates in us a yearning for your kingdom. Receive all we offer you this day and keep us in your peace for the sake of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary, and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit, and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And now may God the Creator grant you the grace to see yourselves as God made you. God of love grant you the grace to value yourselves as God values you. God of life grant you the grace to dream God's purpose for you and the courage to live that purpose from the depths of your being. And the blessing of God, Creator, Lover, and Giver of life, be with you and those whom you love and care for this day and forevermore. Amen. In the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit to love and serve your God.
Straight tape.